Trying to get this figured out here, one sec. You can open your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew, verse 28. After I spoke the first time, people said, oh yeah, the first time's so hard, but next time, way easier. But definitely not the case so far. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I was asked tonight to just kind of give a little summary about my trip to Peru, what we did down there and the ministry that went on when we were there. So I left February 15th, took off, and came back March 16th. And a month doesn't really sound like a whole long time, but, oh man. This thing's not working. Took off February 15th, and wasn't home until March 16th, so a month doesn't really sound like a long time when you first think about it, but... If any of you know who my mother is, a month away from home is definitely a long time, at least for her. And so when we were there during the month, we were on nine or ten flights just in 1 month. We flying a lot, just all over Peru. As long as we stayed in one section of Peru was about a week and a half, I guess. We also did some long bus drives, some of them like 7 hours, 8 hours. Which doesn't seem too bad, but when you take in fact to the heat and you're just sitting there for 7 hours, can't move, there's no washroom on the bus, and all you have to do is sit there and watch Spanish movies, it can get kind of boring. Getting down to Peru, there's a few plane delays and canceled flights, but I got stuck in Toronto for a bit. And luggage was lost too. So a few things were kind of going not the best, but I ended up just staying in Toronto for a couple nights with Burnett, Hannah Burnett and Colin Burnett. And at first it was kind of like, why is this happening? Like, it wasn't in my radar that I'm gonna be laid over in Toronto for a couple days, but it was awesome to see how God handled everything. Got off the plane, there was a lady standing there with a sign saying Levi, and I just followed her, and she took me to another person. She just got me right to the Burnetts, and it was pretty awesome. So the first 3 days of the trip, we went to a place called Ayacucho, and there we met Daniel McKinley. He's a missionary, lives in Vancouver now, and this is Daniel McKinley there. Wayne and Veronica Ginden, they're family friends, I guess, there when they used to live in Vancouver. And Dan's a pretty awesome guy. He's a really funny guy. It's never a dull moment with him. And it was awesome getting to know him. This here is the main town of Ayacucho. And, of course, there's a big Catholic church in every town hall, I guess you'd call it, in Peru. And... while we were down in Ayacucho, we were only there for 3 days. We visited a church, and Mark spoke, and then they fed us lunch, and we visited a Sunday school up in the mountains that Daniel and his family started. And these are just some roads in Ayacucho, and this is where we stayed in Daniel's house. And that is... I took a lot of pictures of food I ate down there, and I can't show them all, but I picked one of the worst and one of the best, I guess. But this is definitely one of the worst. This is a big bowl, still not really sure what it was, but I know there's some crunchy quinoa stuff, and there's a lot of it too. That's a bowl, and it's full, and if you picked it up, and you could catch the whole thing in your hand, just like Play-Doh almost. And you have to eat the food that they give you, because if you don't eat the food, it's just like, it hurts them down there. That like, it's so much disrespect that this gringo, they call it white people gringos, that they didn't eat your food. So you have to somehow try to figure out how to eat this stuff that they give you. This is the home assembly, Daniel's assembly that he started down there and his family that Mark spoke at. And this is the Sunday school that we visited when we were at Ayacucho. And this is one of the good, better foods. There was definitely a lot of good food that I ate down there too, but this is just a weird fruit called, name's lost to me, but some kind of fruit that you eat, like a seed kind of. So then after Ayacucho, we headed on a bus drive to Ica, and Ica is a city in the desert. And we were just kind of passing through Ica on our way to Lima. And in Ica, it's in the desert, we stopped at a Christian Bible camp that Daniel McKinley and his family started. And it was a pretty awesome Bible camp. One thing, though, the scorpions there. Right before we got out of the vehicle, Dan told me about the story about he woke up one night and there's a scorpion on his leg and just stung him right here. And he was like, he was so much pain, he couldn't even take his hand and shoo it off him. So he just watched it, like, walk down his leg. He told me this right before we got into this camp, so I had something to look for. He just said, just make sure you shake out your shoes and wake up in the morning. And I was like, oh, man. But this is the lake that they baptized the people in Ayacucho. And it's freezing, and it's a four-hour drive from their home assembly. So every time they have a baptism, they go on a big journey. And so on our seven-hour journey to Ica in the desert, we had to go up all through the mountains. And that was one of our favorite parts. Just the sights that we've seen was just incredible. And I'll show you some of them. At one point, we were actually right up here. We were 4,500 meters up in the air. So it was crazy. You try to walk and you're trying to catch your breath. It was unbelievable. Me and Daniel and Mark went for a jog up to that house, and once we got to about right about there, we were out of breath. We couldn't go any further. This is a Roman Catholic church that we've seen on the way, and the sun comes down, and it lands just about there, and apparently it lights up the whole village, and it's pretty cool. Some more sights. This is when we got to the desert. And this is the Bible camp that we stayed at, that Daniel was at. And this is more in the desert. You look around, you do a 360, and all you can see is just sand as far as the eye can see. It was pretty cool to see that. There's Daniel McKinley and me drinking tea in some sugar shack up in the middle of nowhere. And then, after we are at Ayacucho, before we left there, we visited some of the locals in Ica, in the desert. And We visited this one man, and I guess he went to the church years back, but he can't anymore. And it was at the very first of the trip. It was probably 3 days in my trip, and I've already seen probably the worst living situations that I've seen the whole trip. And it was pretty crazy. Just the heat in that desert was just unbelievable. And it was just a mud hut, and we walked in to see this guy, and he could barely move. He was just laying down in his bed, and you could just see this huge like chunk of metal coming out of his leg. And like, wasn't patched up whatsoever. Flies all around him. He couldn't even like hit the flies off. And I don't really know what happened because they were talking Spanish. But story of my trip there. But I know he had leg problems, and he had to go to the hospital and get it fixed up. But they didn't really fix it up. They just kind of gave him a, there you go, now you can go home. So we prayed with him, and we went around to a couple other locals. And so we headed to Cusco, and Cusco is another village way up in the mountains, 3,500 meters up there. So it's definitely still high. And Cusco, we did a lot of open-air street evangelism with speakers and guitars, and we'd sing songs, and then Dan and Mark would give a message. And we'd give a little tract to the home address on it, and so just hoping that they would come to Dan's house, Dan Prez. He's got a big family. Youngest is 5, and the oldest is 22, and he's 6 kids. And we stayed with that family for a week and a half, and that was definitely one of the most memorable times of my trip, just getting to know this family so well. it was pretty awesome. But they've been in Cusco for 2 years now, and they originally lived back in Ica, and to this day now they only have two people coming to their breaking of bread service, and that can definitely be kind of discouraging for them. But definitely we're praying for them, and they're doing a great work there. So another thing that we did when we were in Cusco, this is just us doing open air ministry there. And we'd also go to a park, and we'd set up speakers, and we'd start singing like Sunday school songs, and it was just incredible how many kids just came gathered around, like where all these kids came from. We have no idea, but there's probably like 10 kids in the park when we got there, and then when we left, there's like 50 of them all there singing songs with us. And we'd sing Sunday school songs, and then we would, Dan would give like a Bible story, and then Mark would also say something. And then we also, this is a picture of their family. This is Dan and their whole family, and Jose. Last time I spoke here at the chapel, I speaked on him and how he got saved when he's down there. He's 16, and that was incredible to see that. And we also went up and visited these people here, Machu Picchu people, up in the village. We gave them Bibles and sang songs to them and gave them a little story. And as we were walking in, we seen their farm. And afterwards, they fed us lunch, which wasn't much of a lunch, but it was a bowl of potatoes and kind of cooked, kind of clean. We're not really sure. But Mark told me, probably stay away from this, and then they weren't looking, so I didn't have to eat those potatoes. But this is a picture of me and Mark. We were checking out the ruins up there. That was pretty cool. And this is the Machu Picchu's farm. And when we were walking in, this little thing, a couple chickens came out, and we looked down, and we were like, oh man, a couple goats came out, a couple dogs came out, and we were like, when is this thing end? Like, how big is this thing? But, and apparently you don't want to stay close to any of those animals there. And we took the Cusco family out to a chicken dinner, and they were just like mind blown. It was amazing for them. It was pretty cool because they, like in their house, they don't have a fridge or a freezer or anything like that. So they eat a lot of rice and stuff. And they were just, the smiles on their faces when we brought them here was pretty incredible. This is a youth group in Cusco that we were at. And me and Jose playing music. And this is one of our Bible studies that we had in Dan's house. And I'm just going to roll through a couple of pictures here. This is us, me with the family. And this was the house that we stayed in. So after we left Cusco, we said our goodbyes. It was harder than I thought. We went to Lima. We met up with Johnny, Mark DeJager's son. And we headed to Chicolayo. And then when we got to Chicolayo, we headed straight to Faranafe, where Mark and his family has been serving for the last number of years. And they've been working at this Christian school here. There's a couple, not very the best pictures, but when Fenno and Miles and all them went down, this is what they were working on. The school, just building like basketball courts and buildings and classrooms and stuff. And it's awesome. And when I went there, all the people were telling me how my family from Canada came and built in this place, and they're really happy about it. And one other thing, we got the family in Cusco a Twister board, and as I said up there, when you're so high, you're trying to catch your breath when you're talking, so let alone play a game of Twister. And all they want to do when they play Twister is all they want to do when we got them the Twister board is just play, and as soon as you finish a game, you're just like so out of breath and just like, want to do it again, and like I must have played like 3 games in a row, but afterwards I was just done. It was incredible. This is a picture of me on the floor. I fell asleep one night during a Bible study or something. They decided to leave me there. It'd be funny. So once we got to Faranafe, we stayed with a couple named Cesar and his wife and an older couple that lived just down the road from where Mark and his family lived when they were in Faranafe. When I was in Faranafe, there was also a few, like, girls down there that were teaching at the missionary school, and they're younger, I guess. They're older than me, but it was in their English, so it was pretty awesome. I got down there, we could talk to different English people, And it was cool just to talk to them about the Lord and talk to them about missions and stuff and meet them. When we and Johnny were down in Faranafe, we passed out a lot of seed sowers. So seed sowers is like a big poster kind of that you fold in half and you open it up, and it's a Bible verse on a big Bible picture. And he, with John 3:16, I'm pretty sure, was on it. You'd flip it around, and there's like a big picture of that explains how to get to heaven, and it's pretty awesome. They all want like 10 of them, and they hang them up on their walls. And it's pretty cool. So we go to a village, and we start at one side, and we do the whole village. And at the end, they'd all be at the village saying goodbye to us and stuff. So that was pretty awesome. And it's just incredible how you go to Peru, and they all want 10 of them. And you come here, and you pass their tracks, and you pass the track, and someone takes it, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And what is it? Well, it's a gospel track. It's a message of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, I'm good. And they'll give it right back to you. And then down in Peru, it's just totally different. It's hard to understand just how different it is. When we were down there at the school there, they have an orphanage home there too, and we were able to spend a lot of time with orphan kids, and took them to like a water park. And I could go on about the water park, the slides, how sketchy they were, but it was fun, and just to spend time with those orphan kids, get to know them, because they don't have the, say, most fortunate life. And while we were down in Faranafe, me and Mark and Johnny, we all got sick around the same time. Mark got sick first, and then Johnny, then me pretty much at the end of the trip. So that was kind of a bit of a setback, but we got through it, I guess. And while we were down in Peru, they had really, really bad rain. And with that bad rain, they don't have the drainage systems in their drainage systems in their roads, and they're just not built for rain, and they never get rain. And so when they get rain, it just floods everywhere, and then their homes, the water comes up to their homes and eats away, and the salt just devours the bottom of the home. So like this, that guy's home just completely fell down, and I'm up in my bedroom window here, and that was our neighbors across the road. And so the floods, it made for everyone's, a lot of people's houses falling down on roads, on people, and put a lot of people in the hospital. And it was definitely a hard time. One time we walked to church in the morning, and bright sunny day, and on our way back, we opened up the door, and the streets were just flooded, and it came in the church, and like, where did this come from? So we had to take off our shoes and walk through the sewer to get home. But it was just crazy how the weather was like that, and it's never like that ever. it was a pretty amazing trip, and I want to thank you all for your prayers and your support. And big thanks to just the opportunity I had to go down with Mark DeJager. Like, he was just such an awesome guy to go down. No one to mentor you as good as he could, and just his knowledge and what kind of a role model Mark is. And all the questions I had in the Bible or anything, he took me through the Bible and just had answers for everything. It was pretty awesome. Just a few thoughts on what relates to what Brian Taylor was saying this morning, how Jesus was by himself on his way to Calvary, and how lonely Jesus must have been on his way there. That just relates to me, how down in Peru, I definitely had a couple like lonely days, and where there's people around, but they speak Spanish, and Mark's doing this, or Johnny's doing this, or I'm at that home, and there's just not a whole lot to do, so I just kind of like, you get through it, but it's just kind of a lonely day. And when you think about it, it's nothing compared to the loneliness that Christ would have felt on his way to the cross. But he went through with it and died for our sins, and just something that a parable, I guess, or something to relate this with. Me and Hanson say we go to McDonald's some night and get a burger combo or something, and Hanson, he's always forgets his wallet no matter where he goes. So it always seems like I'm spotting him here, but he's always good when we go home to pay me back that $10, whatever. And then when he gives me back that money, then we call it even, and and he doesn't owe me anything more, and I don't owe him anything more because he paid me back. But so the amazing thing that Christ did for us, we can't just say, all right, I'm gonna believe in you now. I'm gonna become a Christian, then we're even, and I don't need to do anything more. Or I'm gonna go out some night and tell someone about my salvation, then we'll be even. We'll never be even for the gift that Jesus Christ gave us. And that can be discouraging, but it should be encouraging just to realize how awesome that gift is from our Savior. I was talking to a man one Monday night while we were passing out tracts, and we were talking about finding peace, where peace comes from. And he claimed to be an atheist. And we started talking about how he doesn't believe there's God and so on. And he said, and we started talking about if he's right and I'm wrong, or Christians are wrong in general, then there's no God in heaven, then what happens when we die? We all just get buried and that's it. There's nothing else. But what if he's wrong and there is a God in heaven and the Bible is true? What happens? What happens if you're wrong or he's wrong? And what happens to him? What happens to me? And what happens to everyone else? And it really made him think. And I told him how I go to bed every night with assurance and with that peace that I know that if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, I'm gonna be in a better spot. I'm gonna be in eternity with my Savior. And that was a good conversation I had with that guy. And I'll just ask you tonight, I guess, do you have peace? And do you know that if you don't wake up tomorrow morning, will you be in eternity with your Father in heaven? And if so, then great. Then if not, then that's honestly very scary and sad. And let's pray that you will seek God and you will find that peace. And I'm just going to finish with a verse here. I'm going to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13. Or 14, I guess. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Or how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And I had a bunch more pitches here. I kind of got talking. I might just roll through a couple more of them. This is me and Johnny and Mark when we went to the assembly in Faranyafe. This is us walking home after church one night. And this is the flooded roads. And more flooded roads. And this is the school that Mark and them were working in. And school. More flooded roads. This was their swimming pool in Faranyafe. This is the couple I stayed with in Faranyafe, Cesar and his wife. And a loose pig that got it on the road. And this is when I got home to see my mom and my family. So I just thank you for your time. I hope I could have encouraged you tonight to think about eternity.